Well, we're teaching on biblical mental health, dealing with our thinking and how we think about things, is getting ourselves on track. As I was studying today, I was really thinking about some things of concerning the scriptures that, you know, many times we can read something and we say we gain knowledge about it, but we really don't place it into our lives like it's supposed to be. We read them and it seems like, well, I know what it's saying, but it's like, yeah, but what does it really apply to me? How does it fit for me, this knowledge? I found out one thing that many times from a scriptural standpoint, we talk about grace, but it's really how little sometimes grace is yielded to. That really, we're not trying to do things by grace, we're trying to do it by our own abilities, we're trying to make the word work in our life, and you don't make the word work in your life. It's one of those things, the word, if you learn how to yield to it, the word produces in you what you cannot naturally do. It'll give you ability to do things that you don't have talent for. And this is where one of the things is, a lot of times people look like, well, my background, my education, or this or that, the other things, determines how far I can go and my understanding. And it doesn't really work like that at all. There's one thing, it's about grace is really dealing with God's ability that works in our lives. Because if I'm looking at the word and I can just take it and just go do it, then I should get the credit for all of it. Why should we give God credit and say about grace if it's who's bright or who's smart? Well, then we should take the credit for it, shouldn't we? I mean, if God takes the credit, he's doing it, you know, unjustly. But if God's worked in me and through his grace I was able to accomplish things, then he should be glorified and praised for it. Amen. And you want to do that because one of the things is you don't want to get tied into the works areas because if you want anything that's going to rob the joy out of your Christianity, that's it. Because there's too many Christians that their life's a labor and they're not really enjoying their salvation. They're working for it. They're concerned. I'm just amazed the amount of people that are not secure about their salvation, about the return of Christ, or they're going to go, or when they die. You know, it's like with me, is the farthest thing from my mind is death is a problem. You know, it's like, it is more difficult living than it is dying. Well, it is. I mean, it's one thing when you die, the difficulty, that's out the window. You know, if you're believing right, it's living here is where we face tests and trials. Here's where we're dealing with the things. I mean, so it's the fact of when death comes, I can, way back yonder in my Christianity, when I saw where Paul said he desired to part leave with Christ, I got a revelation and I thought, you know, he said it's far better. And I said, well, then it has to be. It's far better. You know? Is how people do with a person leaving the earth and they're a Christian and they're going to heaven. And most Christians, you never think that being around them. You know, somebody's leaving and dying and they're more wringing their hands about it than my God. They're going to be better off than what we are here. No, I want you to stay here and be miserable like me. Get into unbelief like I am. It's like, person's going to be with Christ. It's far better. And that's why I don't think much of the church really has the reality of the turn of Jesus Christ. People are clinging here to this earth. And that's from the flesh. Your heart's not. That's a sign of people being connected by their flesh here. Not by their spirit. By their flesh. Because the flesh wants to cling to this. And every once in a while you got to slap it. Get your hands off. You know, it's sort of like what you have to do to it. Because it is, it clings to the things here. And in doing so, it robs us of a lot of joy and peace in this life while we're here. Especially from the idea of overcoming fears, not being fearful about what's going on. Losing that fear. Like, I saw this that many people would praying for other people and people who don't know Christ. They do it out of fear and anxiety and not out of confidence in the grace of God that God's going to reach that person. They don't have the confidence. They're ringing and working, trying to make all this stuff work out. They want a person saved and going to heaven. I'm sorry. I don't get anybody saved. I didn't die for none of you.
Amen.
I preach the gospel how good God is.
Amen.
As our problem is one of the things that the Lord dealt with me this week of the little that actually the true gospel's preached, how little it is, what we tell the sinners is not, most of the time, I'll be honest with you, in the last 10 years, I have heard very few people who say they were preaching the gospel were actually saying what the Bible said concerning a sinner. Now, we have these things that we've done, that we've organized and said, and they're cliches that people have made up and said over time, and those cliches became doctrine. And they became gospel, and it's like I always say this, the gospel's better than the preaching. It is much better. The gospel's better. And so, when we do this, when we look at two as ourselves, now you're in the kingdom, you should be, when you look at the Word of God should be something that blesses you, that is an encouragement. Is when I look at people and that stuff and reading the Bible and it seems to be a hard thing for them, this is the place of our answers. This is the place where we meet God.
Amen.
This is the place where you're going to, you come, and these are God's Word, and if Jesus Christ is the Word of God, this is where you run into Jesus. Why would this be some difficult or hard thing? People say, well, I can't wait to get to see the Jesus. Well, I'm sorry, I visit Him every day. Amen. You know? I'm just going to see Him face to face when I get there, but right now, I'm going to tell you, I can really get to know Him here.
Amen.
You know, the Holy Spirit who takes a belong to Jesus and reveals us, He lives in you. He's inside of you. Phenomenal, isn't it?
Amen.
So when we look at the Word, and we're going to look tonight, and things what are said in Scripture, if they apply to us and we can apply them, they're going to be a blessing to us. That's what the Word does. The Word is designed to bless God's people. That's what it's for. So we're looking into it, and if it fits in, then it leads us to something better and to something higher, and that's what we want to do. We got to put on a new mind. We got to take off religious minds, and just like myself, I was raised religiously, and we were raised under religion, and religion was a lot of your works. You're trying to do all this stuff to please God, and trying to keep God happy. You know, we're trying to keep God happy, and He ain't unhappy anyhow. So, but we're trained to do that. We're trained to think, well, if we do something wrong or something like that, people say God's keeping account, you know. God's keeping account. You know, God don't even keep track of the sinner's sin. The Bible says He doesn't. The Bible said we're supposed to tell the sinner God's not holding sin against them. So He ain't keeping track. Who's keeping track are the saints. And they say it's God, and it isn't God. God's not holding any sinner. Anybody who left this earth today and died, if they went to hell, when they found this out, God was not holding sin against them. They didn't go to hell because Jesus took the sin of the world. Jesus died for everybody's sin. He's holding the sin. He held of nobody. Only the church preaches He does. You've got to confess your sin to get saved. Well, then God's holding account. See, we tell people these things, and we preach a gospel that is a much lower standard than the high level of the gospel. The gospel that takes a sinner and turns him into a saint. No, the sinner becomes a saint by fixing everything in his life, and then he becomes a saint.
That's right.
You know, you confess all your stuff, and you know, you commit, you're never going to do anything wrong again, and you do all these things and that stuff, and boy, then you're up there with God. None of it's true, but it's people, it's religious thinking. And if you want to change in your life, one of the things is you have to grasp this, what faith really is. What is faith? What is faith really is? Number one in the idea of faith is becoming, you have to believe the right things. You must believe. You can't. If you got to believe what God's Word said about it, not what religion, not what I think about it, not what it's what God's Word says. I must believe that with my heart, with no doubt. I don't care how extreme it sounds. I don't care if it seems crazy. Isn't it crazy that God took the sin of everybody already? Now, see, people would get nutty and say, "Well, then is everybody saved?" No. See, we need to tell people this because the gospel is this. God is reconciled to all men. And Paul said this, then you must be reconciled to God. So that's where salvation comes. I reconcile myself to Him. He's already reconciled to me. God's not holding my sin against me. He wouldn't. You know, when I was born on the earth, the first day I came into this world, my sin, of the 30 years of my life, none of it was held against me by God. And you know what? All the time I was growing up a kid, He's mad at you, you rotten scumbag. You just, God's... Well, sure. I mean, all of that has been said against us. And this was called gospel. It neither was gospel. It was man's gospel created by man. And it was a Jesus that was created by man. Jesus was, oh, they say, God loves you, but He's so mad at you, He can't stand it. But see, when we get a hold of this, and this is why as we do this, we got to change the way we think about God. You know, is the Lord good and His mercy endures forever?
Yes.
Is that true?
Yes.
Well, then that should carry a great weight.
Yep.
Not all this other stuff. That should carry a great weight. The thing of it is what makes it easy for us, and especially changing the way we think. As we look into the Word, understand who the Word is talking to, and what it's saying. Just because we take from the Word, like some people, they take correction as is some kind of bad thing. Paul wrote to churches, and like he wrote to the church at Corinth, he gave them correction, but he never dealt with them like they were sinners. He never dealt with them like they weren't going to make heaven. He never dealt with them like, you know, God was working against them or anything. He never dealt with them like that. He always dealt with them, the fact of, though the trouble you're in, you got yourself into trouble. But God's not your trouble. God's not against you. God's for you. And so we need to get over into that area of thinking. Tonight we're going to go to the book of Ephesians. We want to look at something here, some things that we learn how to apply by faith and some things that we begin to see. If faith is something that we believe, it starts off there. Then that faith, what you believe, you must be speaking that. You can't talk differently than what's in your heart, you believe. Or you cannot bring it, it will not come to pass. See, there's things that the Scripture says about you that does not look true. But the Bible says it's true about you. Number one, you're going to have to divide the difference between your flesh and your spirit. Is when's God talking about your spirit? When's He talking about your flesh? The average Christian, well, I'd say more than average Christian, identifies themselves more by the flesh than they do by the spirit. Much more. And they deal with themselves much more about their flesh than they do from their spirit. If a life of faith, and I'm supposed to walk by faith, so generally, this is my normal life. I'm getting the Word of God into me, I'm believing the Word of God, and I'm saying the Word of God is true. I'm not talking about what I see about me is true. The Word is true. And if I want to change, that's how I start to bring it to pass. People are doing this. They see the Word, I need to act in this manner. So the first thing they do, they try to act in the manner. They don't believe it. They ain't saying it. They're trying to just over here doing works. I'm going to force myself into doing this. And this is why people don't accomplish things. They don't accomplish stuff. Because they're trying to do it through the flesh. It don't start in the flesh. It starts in the spirit. Salvation never started in the flesh.
That's right.
Salvation started in your spirit. You heard the gospel. You believed on Jesus Christ. Then you made a confession. You wouldn't have got saved if that wouldn't have happened. Well, where does faith change? The Word, people act like once you get saved, then all of it changes. Now you're by works trying to make all this stuff happen. No, it's your whole life is believing the Word and saying what the Word says. You continually do that. If you want to change what you're doing, change what you believe, change what you're saying out of your mouth, and God will empower you to be able to act out what He wants you to do. And don't go the opposite. Everybody's trying to do the will of God without the grace of God. And the grace of God only works by faith. That's the only way it works. It does not work any other way. If you are doing something without faith, it's all to your credit because God ain't in it. We need to understand this. Get God involved in it first, believing the Word. Now we want to look tonight, we're going to look at Ephesians, the fourth chapter. We're going to start at verse 17. It says this in Ephesians 4 chapter, verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, he said, in the futility of their mind. Now we want to talk about this in what it's saying. So in other words, he's telling us that we should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk. Now, the word Gentile should have not been put there. Because the word there that's translated Gentile also is the word translated heathen or a pagan. In other words, what he's talking about here is the non-Christian. The word Gentile, they used from the things dealing with the Jews. The Jews called the people in the world Gentiles. Now, if we want to deal with a Gentile, I'm a Gentile. So don't walk as a Gentile. Well, I'm a Christian. See, people read this as if he's talking to all Jews. He ain't talking to all Jews. He's not talking to Gentiles. He's talking to Christians is who he's writing to. He tells a Christian, don't walk. Who's he talking about? He's talking about the non-Christian, the pagan, the heathen, what they came out of. A Christian is not a pagan, a heathen. He's a Christian. He is separated. This letter was written to the Christian. It wasn't written to the pagans out there. They can't fulfill, this can't be fulfilled in them, what we're going to read. It can't be fulfilled in them. So he is writing to Christians telling them, okay, don't walk like the heathen did. And don't walk in the stuff that you walked in before. Don't walk in those places. You have a different life. Now, is the walk is how you live? Well, the Bible says this, we walk by faith and not by sight. He's talking about a way that we walk or a way that we live, which is by faith. And that faith is, where does faith come from? Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. So in other words, this is talking about the Word of God. If I'm not going to live as a Gentile is, I must have faith in the Word of God. I must hear the Word of God and get faith into it to have this walk. It don't just happen because you got saved. Most Christians will get born again and mostly live as the heathen does. Their life's mostly going to be in the natural. They're mostly going to turn around and walk. They might seem to be pretty nice people. Well, there seems to be pretty nice people among the heathens. Some pretty nice people. But the Bible never talks about them like they're nice. Never. The writings in the New Testament never talk about a sinner as if he's a good person. Never. The only people that do that are Christians that don't know the Bible. This is why we don't think people need saved. They're pretty nice. And they say they're a Christian. We don't know the difference between life and spirit. We don't know life and spiritual death. We don't know it. We need to come to that place. Now, he said they walk in the futility of their mind. That word futility there is a word that means, actually you mean to be morally depraved. There are people who live serving no useful purpose. They're completely ineffective. You know, in God's mind, the sinner is completely ineffective and they're of no value in this earth. Hey, what happens when they die? They go off to hell. There's no reward for them. There's nothing. There's nothing of value that they get rewarded from. See, people need to get thinking. We as Christians need to think. We are so separated and different. But we're too mingled with their thinking. Too mingled. We don't see ourselves in the life that we really have and who we are. See, God says, don't get over into their walk. Why? Their walk is in the flesh. Their walk is never spiritual. Their thinking is never spiritual. I don't care if they say, you know, just like myself, I was involved in the sorcery. Sorcery wasn't dealing with spirituality. Sorcery dealt with things that you do in the natural that causes spirits to act. Understand this. The devil operates through your flesh. God operates through my spirit. Amen. The devil has no contact with Ed's spirit. He has no contact with your spirit. His contact with you is your flesh and unrenewed mind. Mm-hmm. That's his contact with you. He never has contact to a Christian spirit. The devil don't live in no Christian spirit. The Holy Spirit said, the Holy Spirit don't, there ain't two apartments there. If people who have devil problems have flesh and unrenewed mind problems, that's where their problems are. It's their flesh and their unrenewed mind. The devil don't live in a Christian spirit. He doesn't talk to me through my spirit. Never does. When I was involved in sorcery, the devil, he wasn't involved in that. He moved on me through my flesh. So it wasn't spiritual. I wasn't doing what I was because it's spiritual. I wasn't. The Bible tells me I was carnal. Now, is that ever true? Or, see, Christians walk around talking about people who are spiritualists. No such thing. Amen. There ain't no such thing as a spiritualist. The only spiritual people are Christians. Heathens ain't spiritual. You know, this is why. Most Christians are taught by the world what's spiritual and what's not, you know. I always get a kick out of these Christians talk about, oh, we had a real spiritual experience, and they talk about something in the flesh that happened, and that was really spiritual and everything. They don't know any different. And there's Christians going, yeah, yeah, yeah. They have no clue what spiritual is. They don't know. So we want to walk in the understand this. So the devil, your contacts, your flesh, this is why we need to renew our minds so we can deal with the devil not dominating our flesh. So why we can walk from our spirits or live this life out of what's on the inside of us and not what's around us. You have the ability by faith in you to change the things around you in the natural. If you can't change things around you in the natural, then you have a spiritual problem. Your spirit is being hidden away. Or your spirit being hidden away may believe things, but your mouth's not saying them. Your mouth is saying what you see and what you feel and what's going on around you and the things that are happening. We're not speaking the right things. Therefore, many times we're trying to have actions to things we have no power to do. Yeah, I know I should be able to do this, but I can't. Well, change what you think and begin to say the right things. Do those first. If you don't do those first, forget the rest of that so-called faith stuff. It's not. It's not how faith works. Faith starts in the house. Faith's first action is out of your mouth. The first action of faith is always out of your mouth. The words that you believe come out of your mouth. This is somebody says, you know, comes along, well, how do you feel today? I'm not going to talk to him how I feel. I'm going to tell him what I believe. No, we tell them how we feel. We immediately go over to the walk of the flesh. Because my flesh don't feel, my flesh is upset about it. My flesh got a problem, said. Well, today, and well, we got this problem. What was it? Well, the Lord is my strength and my shield. My very present help in time of trouble. No, I have these problems now, but I'm a person, I'm trusting God. Yeah, that's what we do. Instead of something, say what you believe, what your heart believes, and you'll overcome. I'm going to guarantee you. You'll start seeing overcoming. See, I picked it up from Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said he never talked about, he don't talk about sickness. He said, I don't talk about, he said, that's what he said. I don't believe in it. Now see, most people say, well, you act like Chris, sickness don't go on. He's talking about what's in his spirit. His spirit has no faith in sickness. And 99% of Christians didn't know a thing of what he's talking about. They don't know a thing of what he's talking about. And they talk faith. They don't have an idea. He wouldn't talk about sickness. Why? His spirit didn't have it, and he wasn't saying it because he wasn't going to allow his flesh to have it. See, there needs to be revelation about this stuff. See, we talk about faith, but really, faith is taught on a very low level. We need to pick it up. This needs to become an everyday practice, not something we do when something seems to happen. This becomes an everyday thing in our life. You know, it's like I say, I don't ever get up in a bad mood in the morning. You know how you don't get up in a bad mood in the morning? You never talk any different. I refuse to. I will knit another thing. Oh boy, I just didn't feel. Oh man, it's Monday. Well, get away from me, you heathen. I don't care if you are a Christian. You ain't no different than a heathen. Every day's a good day. Hallelujah. Praise God. God is good every morning. Hallelujah. You just got to get over it. It is. That's what we're going to say. You know, I can't get up. You know, people are talking stuff. They're saying things. We're talking about a life of faith without faith. Because we don't realize you can't use your mouth for other things and at the same time produce what you want to produce. It's not faith. It's not the way it works. If you say unto this mountain, he didn't say, if you say sometime the mountain, it's going to move. And then you say sometimes, well, maybe it won't. And then another time. You know? Oh, it'll still move for you. You have a life of faith. No, you don't. It's not faith. You learn to talk the same things that the Bible says you are. That's what you talk.
Amen.
You know, everybody wants peace and joy. Talk in words that are neither peace nor joy. Yeah. Glory to God. Amen. So anyhow, this is what, now here's the world. So measure this. You can't think like this. Verse 18. This is the world, these heathen, these ones that are walking futility, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart. This is a sinner. You know, there's not a good one. Well, I'll tell you what, Paul wouldn't have been the secret friend of God. Well, would he?
No.
But you understand, that was my condition.
Yeah.
That was yours.
Amen.
You were never a good person.
That's right.
See, you measure yourself against what God calls good.
Amen.
No, in the world, we have most... I've heard major, big-name, spirit-filled ministries, and they say, well, people are generally good. And I think, my words, when are you going to get saved? You don't even know what a salvation is. You can't even identify things straight. You can't even look at them right. Well, how much do you think the world needs saved if you view they're pretty nice? You don't see the need for their change. This is what they're like. Now listen, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness to work all uncleanness with greediness. Now that word that they have to, the feeling, past feeling, that really means they're in a place that they don't even feel bad for the sin they do. They don't even feel bad about the wrongdoing they do. They don't feel bad. Why? They don't have a conscience. Man, there's all kind of stuff that I could do as a sinner, had no conscience for. And when I got saved, all of a sudden, I had a conscience for.
That's right.
See, this is what the sinner's like. So when you read these, identify yourself. This is not me. I'm not like that. Don't talk to yourself. Well, I have this problem and that. Yeah, you do, because you can't shut up. Now, really, I'm not being ugly. It's what it is. Your spirit hears your mouth saying those things. And you're trying to put that things into your spirit. That's what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're trying to put those things into your heart. And you shouldn't. No, this is the world. He said, no, we don't walk like they walk. This is their walk. Remember that one back there? See, I can look at the world. When I look at the world, I think, yeah, I ain't that guy no more. I'm not that person. I'm not there. So, he goes, but you have not so learned Christ. You didn't learn Christ that way. If indeed, he said, you have heard him and have been taught by him and the truth in Christ, in Jesus. Now, he said that you put off. Now, what do we put off concerning your former conduct, the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lust? Now listen to this. You put off the old man concerning the former conduct. You put him off. You're putting this old man off. What is the old man he's talking about? It's not your spirit.
No.
It's your flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Your unrenewed mind and your flesh are what you're dealing with. The old man is your flesh. See, this is why we renew the mind the way we think, because the flesh wants to keep walking the way you did before. How do you change it? I can tell you about anybody, a Christian who keeps going back to sin, they're like the dog who returns his vomit. I can tell you why. They don't stay with the word. They don't follow. They don't listen to teaching. They don't listen. And they keep going back to their vomit because they will never be able to deal with their flesh. Never. Because it requires faith. And if they're not listening to the word and they're not in the word, they're away from faith.
Amen.
Faith isn't something you go to every once in a while.
Amen.
It's a place that you and I live. That's why, you know, Christians get together, we listen to teaching and everything, keeping ourselves fortified all the time, keeping ourselves built up. You know, I don't eat one time a week.
That's right.
You know, your body get, you know, you can't do that. You can't have this Christian walk where you're just sort of just stay away and you're just, and you're going to, it's not going to happen. That's not going to happen. It's a constant feeding of yourself, keeping yourself fortified to the life of faith. Why? Because all around you, as Paul wrote and said this himself, he said there's many voices out there, none without significance. There's things trying to bring faith to you all the time. There's people trying to bring a faith to you. They're saying words that are contrary than what the Word of God says to you. Amen. Things and people are saying, Christians are doing it. There's, you need to learn to be able to rightly divide the truth. You have to. You got to be able to do that. You gotta rightly divide it. Because there's voices speaking all the time. Things going on. Things happening. There's incidents that takes place. They're like a voice talking to you of things that happen. You gotta learn to divide between, how am I gonna respond to this? If you're not a person in the Word all the time, somebody offers you something you normally used to go to in your flesh, don't be surprised you go to it again. You're just gonna go there. You have to keep yourself fortified in the Word of God. You must do that. There's no other way to do this. Because here's where the power lies. The power lies in faith. That your spirit man gets to manifest himself through you. The real man, the part of you that's like God, gets to show himself. This is where our success comes from. It doesn't come from you trying to do works. It comes from me yielding to God's word. Saying what God says, and then God gives me ability to carry His word out. That comes from Him. So, we need to walk in this. He said, so we put off concerning the former conduct, the old man, which grows what? Corrupt according to the deceitful lust. See, that's what the old man, he's corrupt. So you gotta bring him under. If you let your flesh go, he'll do worse. That's why people go back. Do you ever notice that people, they're bound in something before they're saved? And if they get away from God, that's exactly what they'll end up doing. They're going right back to what the old man used to do.
Yep.
They'll let the old man rise up.
Mm-hmm.
You let the old man rise up, he's going to go back right where he does. That's what's going to happen. Drunk and drugging and doing stuff. Guys, maybe, you know, people cheating on their mates and stuff. They get saved. They're good. They get over and they get away from God. Next thing you know, they're doing the exact same thing again.
Yep.
You got to keep the old man under. And you do that by the walk of faith.
Mm-hmm.
It requires of us to do something. You know, you don't get good at sin by not practicing it. And you don't get good at following God without practicing it. It's and you know what? Most Christians, they practice everything else with the Word of God. They don't put the practice of what the Bible says, how you practice the Word. We practice the Word differently than the world practices to do what they do.
Yep.
It is easy just to yield to the flesh and let it go. But you know, it takes work to let this inner man out.
Mm-hmm.
This inner man, and it's a phenomenal thing, this inner man. But it grows corrupt. This is what he says. Be renewed in what? The spirit of your mind. Now he says in the spirit of your mind. In other words, well, the spirit of your mind, your spirit changing your mind. See, you want your inner man to be dominated over your mind. See, we want the spirit man to dominate the flesh. It first has to dominate the mind. Because it requires your mind to dominate your flesh. Your spirit cannot dominate your flesh without your mind. It is an impossibility. When I first got born again, the more I learned of the Word, the more I realized I could bring fleshly things under control. I could do that. The more I got into that, the more I gained understanding. Now, it is important because too many people are sitting and listening to teaching that they ain't going to overcome. They're sitting in churches they ain't going to overcome. I'm sorry. They're not going to overcome if they stay there. You know, they might become, you know, partially good Christians, but they're never going to really become overcomers. I mean, just think, the majority of Christians, they don't really believe, oh, God can heal, but they don't really believe it's going to happen or anything, and they don't believe in nothing. God provides all the good stuff He's Word. They don't believe it's going to happen. Oh, well, God wants people poor for a reason, or He does. God makes you sick for a reason. All that stuff. Unscriptural, totally unscriptural stuff. But yet, because why? They sit in churches and they listen and the flesh gets to rule. Now, whether people realize that, they're being taught in that church how to let the flesh dominate areas of your body. How let it dominate your walk and what you do. You see, this is important stuff. You know, we want to come down, we want to find out, we want to get this ugly thing under control. Why? So we can walk in the blessing of God. So God can bless us and bless our lives because that's what He wants us to do. He wants to bless our lives. And so, We want to be able to allow Him to do that. We need to be renewed in the spirit of our mind. In other words, if we yield to the flesh, I wonder what spirit's going to dominate my mind. The place for the devil's knocking on.
Amen, that's right.
See, when people do that, when people let the flesh go, what happens? Their mind will go right back over to things they were trapped in before, and they'll be right back into it. And you know what? If you can't get them to come back to the truth, you can't change it with them. It's their job to put off. We think it's our job if we just really do really nice to them and good to them, they'll quit. No, they got to put it off. You can't put it off for them.
Amen.
They have to decide to do it. You know, it's just like Alcoholics Anonymous and Drug Anonymous. If a person doesn't want, if they don't decide they want to change, you can't. They ain't gonna change. Now see, Christians have that false belief and false faith that they're gonna make it. We just pray enough. Everybody will get straight. My God, we must not pray at all. Well, if praying changed the outcome, well, and it didn't. We ain't praying God to move on people, but it requires them of doing something. So we find who puts it off? Well, we put it off, but it isn't a natural thing. It's a thing of faith. You hear the Word of God, you begin to speak the Word of God, and God empowers you to put it off, and you renew your spirit, the spirit of your mind. It's not a thing where I just go to do the works. Well, you know, people say, well, you know, I'm just trying to quit this, and I'm trying to quit that. Well, quit trying to. If you're a Christian, stop trying to. Get in faith. Get in faith. Find out what the Bible says that you're free from. See, I'm free. I'm free from drugs. Why? Because, you know, whom the Son has set free and free is indeed. So, you know, this is the average Christian. They don't even know they're already free, and nobody tells them that they're already free. Oh, we preach the gospel. No, you're free. The Son sets you. You get started to tell people, say, you're free. See, the first thing God gave me, the revelation, when I got born again, He said, you notice you don't have to drink anymore? And you know what I realized? I'm free.
Amen.
See, the revelation was, I am free. I'm not trying to get free. See, Alcohol Anonymous and all those, you're never free.
That's right.
See, and you're told to say that you're never free.
Yep.
You can't walk by faith doing it their way. It's all works. That's why it's a really hard thing to do. All their life they're trying to stay away from drugs. All their life they're trying to stay away from the drink. Why? You can't confess you're a drug addict every day and not have the desire for your flesh wanting drugs. That's impossible.
Amen.
You can't say you're an alcoholic and then turn around and your body saying, give me a drink. That's what your body's going to say. Give me a drink.
Right.
See, when I found out it's free and I just said, I'm free. I don't want to drink. You know, it's like Kenneth Hagin said, you know, you just say like, I'm drinking as much as I want to, but I just don't want to. You see, but I can drink as much as I want to. You know, I cuss as much as I want to. I don't want to. I'm free.
Amen.
Yeah. See, I'm free. See, I can sin all I want. I can rob as many banks as I want. I just don't want to. Because I'm free. I'm not trying to get free. See, we're told this. We're working at what God already has given us. We don't declare with what God gave us. We don't even tell people to do it and say, oh, we're trying to lead them to Christ. No, you're not. You're leading them to the flesh. See, no. If you're born again, you're free. Start talking about your freedom. No, I'm going to talk about my problem. See, we have so much psychology in the church. There's so much psychology called Christianity. Renew the spirit of mind that you put on the new man. See, what? If you change the spirit of this mind, you can put on the new guy. What is the new man? It's the guy on the inside who's the new man. You can get him on the outside.
Amen.
Who puts him on? You do. But if you don't renew your mind, you can't do it. People who won't go and sit and listen to teaching, I learned this a long time ago. People say, well, I need help and they want this or that. I always tell them, come to church. If you come, I'm in the business of helping you, but if you don't come every Sunday, sit down and listen to teaching the word, you won't do it. I'm sorry. I'm not interested in it. Because why? You ain't going to change.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Preach.
I'm not being ugly to people. At least I'm telling the truth.
Amen.
I'm one of these people, well, we're going to help. We're going to do all these things for this person and they're going to change. Yeah, good luck on that. No, they don't. They have to change. They have to renew their mind the same way. And they got to put off the old man and put on the new one. They have to. You can't do it for them. And if they won't get into the Word, it's impossible to walk by faith. They can't do it. They can't do it. This is what I learned when I started listening to Kenneth Hagin's teaching. I just came to this conclusion as a young Christian. You know, if I want to get where he's going, I'm going to start doing what he does.
Amen.
And I found out it worked. I thought, I'm going to have to get in the Word. I'm going to have to do things. I'm going to have to do it. I'm going to set time aside of things I like to do. I'm going to have to set it aside. Amen. I'm going to tell my flesh, no, we ain't going to do that. Might even seem that's a fine thing. It ain't some bad thing to do. But I'm going to have to set it aside of time. And I'm going to do something because I got to change. I have to have a change go on.
Amen.
And I'm going to tell you what, I don't care how much you think you're born again, you ain't changing no more than you renew your mind.
Amen.
You have no more change than you. See, this is how I got my mind straightened out, you know, from drugging and drinking and stuff. I had the mind of Christ. Never talk any difference. I had the mind of Christ.
Amen.
Say, no, you're just a flaky, drunk and druggy. That's what you were. You know, you're just a flaky. No, I have the mind of Christ. That's what I have. I'm not trying to get it. That's what I got. I have that. I used to always say this. Jesus don't have any trouble thinking or figuring out things or right things
Amen.
To do. So there's no reason I should have. There is
Amen.
Absolute zero. If I have his mind, but see, people aren't taught that. Well, I came and I had this problem in life. Well, there you go. You're staying in your problem. You go ahead and live in your problem. That's your confession. Now, that isn't being mean. This is how it works.
Amen.
And I learned that by listening to other people talking about how they changed, got their mind straightened out. They started saying the right things, but the
Amen.
Bible said, I'm not, I've heard ministers say, we're trying to put on the mind of Christ. I'm not trying to put on, I got it.
That's right.
He lives in me. He's called the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Ain't nobody brighter in this earth than he is.
Amen.
And hallelujah, he's right there telling Ed how to think. Glory
Amen.
To God. You don't get any better than that.
Hallelujah.
And I have it. I'm not trying to get it.
You,
glory to God. This is one thing. I can think heavenly thoughts. I can think how faith works. I can think of that. Why? Because I have that mind. See, if I don't believe I have that mind, I can read this thing all day and study all day. I'll never amount to anything until I start saying the right things.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Can you get revelation saying the wrong stuff? See, this is why. When the Bible's talking good, see, too many Christians, those verses we read about the heathens, you'd think that's what they are, the way they talk. Well, down here, there's just so much we don't. God, don't you? We're down here. You know, we're just stumbling through. I'm an old pilgrim down here. I know pilgrim. I'm a king and priest. I done read the Bible. My God, I'm heavenly. That's who I am.
Amen.
But people do this. But you know, they talk in humility. It isn't humility. It's stupidity.
Amen.
It's ignorance. God says these gracious words to us and we contradict them and then talk about being faith people. And we're going to have a walk of faith. You know? We're not like those heathens out there. We believe in Jesus. Ain't I great? Well, nobody would know it. See, believing in Jesus should produce something. And it
Amen.
Will. If we do these simple things of the Scripture, find out what the Bible says about you and then that's what you say about you.
Amen.
Don't wait for somebody else to agree with you. Hallelujah. You say the right thing, you get blessed. You do the right thing, you'll get blessed. That's what you do. We say and believe the right things and we get blessed. You know, you ain't going to move them walking around talking about, you know, some crazy stuff to try to be one of them.
That's right.
We renewed the spirit of mind. What did we put on the new man? Which, listen to this, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Listen to that. You were created just like God. Did you hear that? That's the Bible. You were created just like God. According to God. What? True righteousness. We're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. We're as holy as God is.
Amen.
Most people will never say that because they're like, well, I don't always do what's right. I'm not. Well, go ahead. Keep talking it. You never will. You'll never run into grace talking that way. You can't be empowered by grace talking about your shortcomings. The real Ed has none. The real me is like God. I've been created like God is. I have His righteousness and His holiness. That's what the Bible says. No wonder we can't put the new man on. We slap him down every time the word shows us and get back down there, you know. You didn't see how I've been acting, have you? And the guy on the inside says, yeah, I'm trying to yell at him, but you can't keep your mouth shut. The guy on the inside is trying to say something to put you over, and we're talking the opposite way. We're talking like, well, you know, I'm just like everybody else. I ain't. I've been created just like God.
Amen.
You want to make Christians mad, talk like that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, you'll have so many preachers calling you up trying to cuss you out. Who do you think you are? Just like God. I'm righteous and holy.
Amen.
That's me. But see, you're not going to have any effect on the outer man if you don't start doing that.
Amen.
The new man wants to take over. The new man wants to live out that righteousness and holiness, and he can't do it if you're going to talk a different way, because your mind's going to keep thinking wrong and your body's going to keep doing wrong. Hallelujah. Let's turn, we're going to start off into it, we'll pick more of it next week. Let's turn to Colossians, the third chapter. I like Colossians in the third chapter. Actually, I like the second chapter too. There's things in there that are really good, but we're not going to go there. But do you see these things we're talking about? If we take this and apply this stuff to where it really belongs, this is power, folks. This is where our walk is. We're not like the world. They're darkened. See, if I view them, they're all right. I'll start comparing them to me, and after a while, I'm like they are. And the whole time, you're created like God. You're righteous. You're holy.
Amen.
After a while, you believe you're part of the darkened. You believe you're part of it. You know. We don't want to go there. Colossians, the third chapter, starting in verse 1. I like this. He says, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Verse 2, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of the earth.
Amen.
Now, we want to look at these two. What do you do? He says, seek those things which are above. What do we do? Just look up at the air all the time? We say, well, how do you seek the things above? It's the Word. The things above. See, we just got done reading. The world has this low-level thinking. It's a fleshly thinking. If you're going to think things above from your heart, your spirit, the inner man. Christians don't do it. Well, we're going to think happy thoughts. We're going to think a bunch of junk. No, think. You can't think the things above. The things above are the things of God that belong to God, that are in His Word. They're God's way of thinking. That's the heavenly thinking. That's the heavenly mind. You're going to have to go to the Word. What do we do? We think those things on that plane. We were raised. We seek those things above. Why? Where Christ is seated at the right hand. You know what you need to do. You need to look at what the Scripture says of what you are in Christ. If I'm looking at the right hand of God where Christ is seated, that's where I'm sitting.
Amen.
That's where holy and righteous Ed sits, who's created just like God, and you too.
Amen.
See, you're never going to bring the flesh under following the psychology of the church today.
Nope.
It comes under by seeing who you really are. I'm seated in heavenly. Look up. No, we're just down here, and we're just holding on until Jesus comes back. You know, I remember as a kid, and sure, they had testimony meeting. This is a time when you wanted to cry because of what they said. It was just, pray for me. You got the saints. He said, pray for me that I might be true and faithful to the end. Like, I don't know if I can, I don't know, you never know. Pray for me because I just might leave Jesus tomorrow. You never know. You know, when I was a kid, I used to think, Ed ain't got a chance going to heaven. Because these people, they called the saints, who were the ain'ts, they didn't know if they were trying to hang on. And I used to think as a kid, if they can't make it, what chance do I have? They don't know they're making it. Why? There's one thing. See, their minds were thinking all wrong. They were getting up, call it a testimony meeting. And the ten never testified to testify how good God was. We just got their testimony. Well, I thank the Lord for saving me, you know. But pray for me that I might be sure. They call that a testimony for Jesus. I used to think, my God, people in the bar have more fun. They have just as much hope in life as they did.
Amen.
It's like, that's the best thing, God. God saved me. I'm just a dirty scumbag, you know. They don't know who they are. They ain't looking at things above. And they read the Bible all the time, but they never could see it. Why? Their mouth. Their mind was full of their mouth. And their flesh followed their mind, which was full of junk.
Yep.
So they preached about clothing and wearing the right clothing. Why? Because you couldn't live right about the rest of it. So maybe, at least I'd get up in the morning and put the right pair of pants on. I could do that. And then just, you know, skip the tie. Don't put the tie on. Then you're really getting holy. Maybe if you don't wear a belt, put suspenders on. Now you got it. I tell you. Whoo, Jesus is happy. Now, I want you to look at this. A revelation. Here's a revelation for you, verse 3. This is a revelation you need to get. If you don't get, I really believe this, if you don't get this revelation, there's a lot of the areas that you'll never walk in by faith that you'll really grasp on. It says, for you died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. It said, do you know you're dead? You died? Well, I know a lot of people don't have a revelation because they keep living like they ain't. They live like the old man, he's still alive, he's still got all the power, they live that. No, the guy that, see, the sinner was dead in sin. The sinner lived in the flesh. The sinner lives in the flesh. That's what he's dominated by. A sinner can't live spiritually. He can't. Because his spirit is dead toward God. His flesh will always dominate him and rule him. Always. You and I, the guy that we were, is dead.
Amen.
He's dead. The only thing that I have to renew my mind and take this body, which has been dead because of the man that was on the inside, and keep him under, make him obey. That's all I do. But see, I have the power of the inner man to do it. See, the Old Testament, they had the law. The law showed man what was wrong. The law, God couldn't have gave them what, if Jesus hadn't died, raised from the dead, there was no point in showing the new covenant. They couldn't have kept it. They couldn't have walked by their spirits, or they were dead on the inside.
Amen.
They didn't have the life of God in them. So God gave law. They had to have rules and restrictions trying to keep them with bad punishments. That's what the curse was. The curse was for breaking the law. See, you and I, we shouldn't need the law.
Amen.
Because, you know, there's no way that you have in your spirit that you want to break the law. You don't. You Christians who have trouble breaking the law and doing stuff, it's because they never renewed their mind. And their flesh dominates them and they just go out here and just live like every sinner does. But they don't. Why? It's the inner man. See, the inner man is the life that's in you. And if people don't get a hold of this and understand this, you've got to get your mind renewed. Or you're just going to live under legalism. This is why illegalism dominates so much in Christianity. They don't renew their mind to the Word of God, so they're dealing... So, okay, let's just set up laws and rules. Let's make all this stuff here and this, and let's set up all these things that we'll do and all this stuff so we can justify ourselves. They don't know they've already been justified. They've been righteous. They've been holy. They don't know that. Why? They can't renew their mind what they don't know.
That's right.
So what are they going? They're saying the wrong things. We're trying to please God. I am pleasing to God.
Amen.
Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Hey, if you're walking by faith, it's a constant pleasing God.
Amen. Amen.
It's a constantly pleasing to God. Hallelujah. God's not measuring man. But let's say it says, you died and your life what? Now the life that you're dead, your life's hidden in Christ and in God. Gee, I wonder who's going to snatch that one out. Now, I want to read you a scripture. You just go, but here it says, Romans 6. I want to read you some scriptures about this. Because, you know, it isn't just one scripture says this. Romans 6, and I'm just going to read 1 and 2. It says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He said, certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? See, we're dead to sin. Do you know you're dead to sin? See, we might look at things we're doing wrong in our flesh, and you know what happens? That's not what we're saying. We're dead to sin. Well, I need help. We're not saying, no, I'm dead to sin. That thing that's happening to me here, and I'm having trouble in my flesh with, I'm dead to sin. I'm dead to that. No, we'll only say we're dead to it if we can quit it. Who needs grace? I need grace. I'm dead. The real Ed don't want to do it. The real Ed has, this is why I want to stop. The real Ed's free.
Amen.
See, you talk the freedom. You folks heard me how many times like Ken Copeland did to the young guy about smoking. He said he wanted to quit smoking. He said, every time you light up, say, I don't smoke anymore. He said, every time you light, you say, I don't smoke anymore. Just say that. Now, I'm going to just tell you something. That would have never worked if he would have done that. He had to do that. You see, if he would stop and said, yeah, I don't smoke anymore. Well, this is sort of just a stupid thing to do. And, you know, I do want to smoke, but I do. It had never worked. He kept having what he told him, keep doing that. He kept doing it to God in his heart. And that guy really, I don't want to smoke anymore. His mouth took him right where he wanted to go. Amen. You know what? He did it by faith, not the patch.
Yeah.
He got better results. I found this out a long time ago. My mouth can get things quicker than you can in the natural. When I found out health and healing, I could get it quicker with my mouth than you can doing it other ways. I found out. See, you can get this stuff if you get a hold of it. See, I'm dead. I'm dead to sin. I died to sin. And you know, I'm not alive to it anymore. In Romans 6 and verse 11 says, likewise also you reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. He said, reckon yourself. That word there is just, it's just the idea of this. You consider or count yourself dead. Do you consider yourself dead to sin or alive to it? No, the Bible says you should be saying, I'm dead to sin and I'm alive to God. No, I have this sin problem. You don't just understand what I'm going through. Yeah, I do. You don't shut up. That's what your problem is. You keep saying dumb stuff. You don't side with God, and you want God's help. How's that going to work?
Right.
I'm going to talk about Him, and complain about what He said, and I'm going to get a blessed somehow. No, you look at what the Bible said. This is the life of faith. I turn around and I say, I speak this out of my mouth. You know, I'm dead to sin. I consider myself dead to sin.
Amen.
Why? I'm talking about me, the real man, and he is. He's dead to sin. My inner man has no inclination to want to sin. If yours does, you ain't saved, so. No, your inclinations is out of your unrenewed mind yielding to your flesh. Get your mind renewed and start saying what the Bible says about you. You want to change something, that's how you change them. You know, you folks have listened to me. I don't always do things like I said. You know, even for like people who want to change something with their body and weight gain or anything, you got to get yourself first in the spiritual side of it and quit trying to do it just through food. You get over and get yourself start saying the right thing till you get where your body is ready now to obey you. Because I'll tell you, if you just knew it would die, you're going to go right back to it. Your power ain't enough. Your power is not. If man's power, then the law would have worked, and we wouldn't have needed Jesus.
Amen. That's right.
We need Jesus. I want Jesus in every area of my life, and yet 95% of our life is without Him. We're trying to do everything in the natural. No, let's get Him in every. Talk about it. You know. Get yourself set in the right direction. Don't worry about what you think people do. Well, you know, they ain't doing everything right. If you're saying what's right and you really believe it, don't be surprised one day all of a sudden you come into line exactly with what you want. That mountain moves.
Amen.
Now, either the Bible's true or not.
Amen.
Get it to where you believe it. Get yourself. Take time. Don't sit down and, well, I want to go do something. Don't do it till you're ready to do it.
That's
When you're ready to do it, it's going to take a bunch of the work off of it, where you're going to be able to bring the flesh under. You want to get your spirit to be able to renew your mind, where your mind's not battling your body. It's on the side of your spirit. And the two of them are double teaming the flesh. Most people don't do it. Their mind's off in another. Well, I'm going to try to lose weight. Oh, just eat and be quiet. Get over it. Don't wear yourself out. My God, you'll make yourself sick doing that.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Now listen to this. A very familiar scripture, and we use it for healing. But listen, 1 Peter 2:24. Who himself bore our sins in his own body on the tree. That for what? Or that, what's it for? This. This purpose. Having died to sin. That we, having died to sin. We having, not going to, you're never going to die to sin. You have.
Amen.
You've died to sin. Huh. Get agreement with the Bible. Having died to sin, what? Might live to righteousness, by whose stripes we're healed. How do you live to righteousness? Believing you're dead. You have died. See, people want to, I want to live a righteous life. Well, you're never going to talk about yourself being righteous till you feel you're living righteous. And then that there is nothing but your works, and that there is self-righteousness. Because I'll tell you what, it won't be long, you'll do something and, well, I must not be righteous. I'll tell you what, I will never become more righteous than I was the day I got born again. I'm as righteous as God. There ain't nowhere else to go. That's at the end of it. We'll turn around next week. We'll look at more of Colossians. But I want you to see this tonight. What I wanted to bring across to you, to see who and what you are. And you get on your voice. And I'll tell you, if you understand this, you can start to be able to look at other people that are dealing with problems. There's a lot you can just tell why they're dealing with the problems.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You can, you know, a lot of people, we want to just, you know, people have problems. You know what the first thing they do? They want to come, you pray for me.
Yeah.
And most of the time, that's the worst thing you ever did.
Yep.
So, no, you talk to them and say, God, if they don't change their mind, they don't change the way they're thinking.
Yep.
If you do get something off of them, they'll be back in it again. Don't worry. If people don't want to make, there's changes that people have to make.
Amen.
And especially with Christians. When a person's born again, there's requirements of the word they have to do. And most of the time, I find out the problem is they don't believe the Bible. Even though if they know those verses are there and they read them, they don't really believe them. They look at them, yeah, you know, they said that. They don't ever take it to themselves. This is what I am. This is who I am. They identify themselves just like everybody else. And we're just, you know, down this world, I'm just going, you know, we go through what everybody else goes through. I don't go through what everybody else goes through. If you do, you ain't. I don't identify with it. I must have a different God, but I don't. There's things I never put up with. I'm never trying, you know, fighting, trying to keep from murdering somebody. I don't have that problem. I'm not trying to, you know. Now, I don't know about Wanda. She might think about it sometimes. Might be justified, you know. But you know, we do these things, and people go through life, and the things that people do, there's things that I don't go through. There's things I used to go through, the old man used to go through.
Amen.
But the Ed today ain't that guy.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
See, I don't identify with the guy before I was 30 years old.
Amen. That's right.
That guy's dead. And I don't strap him on my back and carry him around in my mind.
Yeah.
And haul him around. Because that's not me. That's not who I am.
Right.
And so you need to identify what the Bible says you are. I don't have a past. From God's eye, Ed Gibson has no past since January 1980. There is none. If I go to heaven and he bring up past, he's a liar. And he ain't nothing but the devil. That's what he'd be.
That's right.
The only one that ever brings up my past beforehand, it sure is never God. The only thing that brings up the past, you will live a Christian life with an unrenewed mind, and the devil will play on your past to keep you from getting to your future.
That's right. Amen.
That's what he does. And it's the devil. It ain't God reminding you of something. That guy's dead. I like the thing at one time that Kenneth Copeland told him. We'll close with a story. A guy, he came along and he did something and he went before God. He repented, but you know, it was one of those things that, you know, you repent, but you don't really sort of question God forgiving you. Yeah, hey, he went back to God about this, about where he messed up in this thing, and he said the Lord spoke to him and said to him, "I don't know what you're talking about." Well, he said, "Yeah, Lord, you know that certain thing and that, you know." And the Lord said, "No, I don't. What are you talking about?" Well, he said this certain thing. The Lord said, didn't I forgive you? He said, "Yeah." He said, "Well, then I don't know what you're talking about." You see, people don't, we carry things around. We put things in our mind. We choose to. It's us putting on. Mm-hmm. We put it on. We get people trying to put stuff on us in our mind. We need to turn around and learn about this, because all this does, these kind of things affect your ability and your confidence toward God of who you really are. And if you don't deal with those things, if you don't learn to deal with that, you get on this, well, I call it just a roller coaster of Christians, and I watch them all the time. They're up here, they're down here, they're up here, they're down here. They got their up and down days, and they got all their things. And man, I gave that up a long time ago. I don't have bad days and lousy days. I got days. And they're faith days. They're every day God's good to me. You know, things come along. Things might get on my roller coaster track, but it's always a straight track, and things get on them, and I just keep going. You know, we just keep going. It don't matter. They're going to get off the track. You know, it's just like the deer in the head, you know. And I tell you what, I got a bumper guard on that thing, and we just knock them off the track. You know, it's just... This is what we got.
Amen.
And this is what we want to walk and live in.
Amen.
And we can go there. We can live in this place. Amen. Hallelujah. But you stay in mind what the Scripture says about you. It is true.
Amen.
And you talk like what it says about you. Hallelujah. Amen. You're a child of God. You're born again. You're dead to sin. Sin does not rule over you.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
You listen to most of Christianity and sin rules over them because they talk about, well, you're just going to sin. I mean, I've heard so many preachers over the years say that. I've turned more preachers off on the radio and TV hearing them say that. Just turn them off.
Yep.
Don't need to hear that preaching. Well, you know, you're just an old sinner and you're just going to sin and this is just the way it is. You know, whom the Son set free really didn't get free. And we're not free from sin. No, not. I'm alive to it. I'm going to be doing it. And they don't tell them who they are. What do they expect out of people? Hallelujah. I'll tell you, you're seated at the right hand of God. That's your place. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Ain't some old rotten scumbag sitting there. There is none there. Hallelujah. There's only righteous and holy sitting there. Glory to God. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Hallelujah. For what you did for us in Christ Jesus. Father, it is so wonderful and good. Hallelujah. You've made us your very own righteousness. You made us your very own holiness. You made us like you are. Oh, my, my, my. How wonderful that is. I want to thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Father, I'm just so thankful, Lord God, that when we look into the words, we can see ourselves like our Savior, Jesus Christ. We can see ourselves in His light and what He did, hallelujah, and we just pick up and take on and put on His life on us. And we want to thank you for that, Father, that we overcome in every situation, Lord God, that you have given us the victory. We're not going to get it. It's been given to us in Christ Jesus. Sin will not rule over us. And we thank you for it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.